Welcome to the Date Forever podcast. Keep your relationship fueled up with strategies discovered by couples and experts. Because at Fuel Collective, we believe better relationships will equal a better world. You are about to discover specific insights and tools that cost little or nothing to implement to help you date forever. And now, here are your hosts, a couple who always have a half-packed suitcase and a date night in the calendar, Sammy and Nathan Yeager.
Welcome to the Date Forever podcast. In today's episode, we're talking all about your relationship with money as an individual and as a couple. Things we chat about are how to nurture and deepen your relationship with money, how to create flow with your finances, and the importance of changing from a scarcity to an abundant mindset. Now let's get into it.
Welcome to the Date Forever podcast, everyone. Today, we're welcoming Sarah McCrum. Sarah is a teacher and author who helps you create a healthy relationship with money so you can live with abundance, fulfillment, and generosity. Most people experience fear and stress around money, and they're not aware how much it's influencing their business, financial, and family life, or their impact in the world. Sarah's helped more than 10,000 people through her online courses based on the book Love Money, Money Loves You. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
So Sarah, where did your money journey begin and why did you want to influence other people?
I started out completely by mistake. I was not interested in money and I had no intention to be working with money, but I had a really unusual experience. I'd had a business failure. Literally, my business had fallen apart. And just a few weeks after that, so at a very, very difficult time financially, I was given a little book that was called How to Become a Money Magnet, and it had exercises at the end of the chapters. And one of the exercises said, what would money like to say to you? And so it was just like a journaling thing. I was journaling, and I literally what happened is that my pen started writing on the page, not my words. And the first thing that came out of my pen were the words, I would like to tell you to love me. And then it went on and it said, you know, you can do whatever you like with me, pay with me, play with me, invest me. And it was like money was talking to me. And it started talking about, like, I'm an energy. I'm very beautiful. I'm not the devil. I'm not all the things you think. You're far too afraid of me. And it just went on like this for about two pages. And it was incredibly beautiful what it said. It was not like anything that I'd ever come across before. And so what happened after that was that I just had another go the next day and wrote down another message from money and then another one. And I ended up with over 60 messages, just money talking to us as human beings about what it really is. Sounds a bit implausible, but that was what I experienced. And it was just the most remarkable information that I had not really come across before.
Mm. And then what happened? So you had this experience for yourself and that obviously sparked some curiosity.
Well, I turned it into a book because that was an obvious thing to do. And then I ignored it for a couple of years because I had so little money at the time. I actually felt really ashamed of the fact that I had no money and I'd written this book. So rather stupidly, it's not a good thing to do, but I thought, oh, well, I'll just ignore it. And then I moved to Australia. My husband and I moved to Australia and we literally had no money. I realized then I've got to make my book work because if I didn't, I would have to go and get a job and I was never going to get a job in the part of Australia that I moved to. And so I was really in an impossible situation. And so then I started to really put into practice what was in the book and I found that it really worked. And I've basically built my relationship with money on that basis now for the last 8 years.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you've obviously got a really unique and interesting relationship with money. So like, how can we understand our own relationship with money a bit better?
I think the first thing that changes it is understanding that you actually do have a relationship with money. So money is not just notes and coins. I think of it as energy. You can characterize it how you like, but it is, there's something real. There's something that moves things around the world. Money is this extraordinary flow. And extraordinary kind of fuel for human activity, if you think about it. It connects us all together in the most incredible ways. So if you start to think of it as a relationship, and then you can start thinking, well, just the way I can look at my relationship with my partner, and I can think about that and have feelings about it. So how am I relating with money? What do I feel about money? Am I being kind, generous, loving? Am I being a really mean, nasty person? Am I just ignoring this other thing that's so important in my life. So we think about it really similarly to how we think about any relationship.
Mm. And is that relationship built up of our beliefs with money, or is that a different piece?
I think our beliefs about money are just like our beliefs about relationship. You know, if you grow up thinking that all men are going to exploit you, that's going to show up in your relationship. So if you grow up thinking that money's the root of all evil, or money doesn't grow on trees, or whatever your beliefs are, the beliefs affect the relationship, but they're not fundamental to their relationship. They're just where you're at the moment.
Mm. So I think one of the common things that we come across is that, you know, people kind of categorize themselves as spenders or savers, but really there's probably like a whole spectrum of relationships that you can have with money.
Yes, absolutely. I think of it first and foremost in terms of, so people say things to me like, I feel as though money's a neighbor that I've never invited to dinner, and the fence has got all kind of rusted and the gate's got brambles all over it, and I've never really let it in. It's like I've never let it come close to me. I've always kept it at a distance. Or I feel like there's a lot of people talk about ignoring it. A lot of people talk about not really respecting it, not seeing it as something powerful or valuable. And what the book showed all the time is that money's actually very much connected with love. And we don't tend to think of that. We think loving money means being really greedy. But, you know, loving your husband wouldn't mean that you're really greedy. It just, that's a natural thing to do. Money is a part of the natural energy of life. And it's actually really natural to love. You know, everybody would love to experience abundance or thriving. That's just having a good relationship with money, fundamentally.
Mm. So if somebody's like considering this for the first time and they're like, oh yeah, I do have a relationship with money, how can they sort of start to unpack that and get a little bit more familiar with their current relationship, and then I guess identify the gap to where they might like to be? What's the first step?
I think the first step is to take a bit of time and to look at it. And one of the reasons I shared the book is because it gives you a different context. It's not easy to look at your relationship with money if you just look through the same eyes as you've already looked at it. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's actually really valuable to get a bit of a different perspective on it first. And then you can think about that and say, so if money is really energy, and it's really something that is very generous, and it's a very beautiful energy in our life, do I treat it appropriately? Or is the way that I treat money and the way I think about money not really fitting to something that's a beautiful energy? But if you carry on thinking what you already think, it's actually not that easy to reflect very intelligently, I think, on your relationship, because it's such an alien thing to think about having a relationship with money for most people.
So when you dug a little bit deeper into your own relationship with money, you kind of said that you put it off for a few years and you brushed it aside a little bit and then rekindled once you moved to Australia. What did you get out of that?
I learned so much that I had never expected to learn. So first of all, I think that I had to learn how to engage with what I really wanted. I'd got very switched off from that. And I meet a lot of people who, if you say, what do you really want in life, or what do you want in your business, they can't actually easily answer that question. They just sort of, I just want more money. Or I want more love or something. I just want more of something. But more money could be $5 or it could be $500,000. It's very unspecific. That was really important for me to learn to respect myself enough to listen to what I really wanted from the inside and to be willing to ask for that. So that was a very important thing for me. I think another thing that came out of my relationship with money was and this really surprised me, that it gave me access to joy. I'd always had this feeling like, I can enjoy, but I didn't feel like I experienced joy itself very much. And a lot of people in business, I find, especially, or in relationship, are wanting to experience joy, but don't really know how to. And it was really funny that bringing together, kind of getting aligned around money and purpose and money, bringing all of that together, actually allowed that experience to come out more, which I would never have expected, that by looking at my relationship with money, that that would give me the keys to experiencing joy. It seems so unlikely.
Sarah, it's so interesting that you mentioned clarity. A couple of years ago, Nathan and I went through an exercise where we reviewed our current lifestyle and our dream lifestyle and what the difference were in the costs. We didn't really have the big picture or what it might be like. So we went through and added up what we were currently spending on our lifestyle and the costs associated, and then what we wanted to be spending on travel, on clothes, on new toys, experiences and investments, and going out for a really lavish dinner on our anniversary each year. Then we went ahead and added it all up and it gave us one big number. So we'd always knew that we had to make more money, but we weren't exactly sure how much more we needed to make to have the dream life that we were kind of envisioning. So for us, doing that exercise created a lot of clarity. It helped us really understand where we are right now, but also where we want to be going.
So that's exactly right. That one of the things actually that came out in my book was about having a vision. And the other thing that was really strong was not just having a vision of what do I want, what kind of house do I want to live in, but what's the change that I want to contribute? What do I want for the world? What is it that I really care about that I would like to contribute to? And that's not necessarily about going out to get a job that's saving the planet. It might be that what you'd like to contribute to, like many people, is that, I don't know, we're more peaceful, or we treat the land better. That's something that most people can do in any job or in any home that they have. And so very often the things that we care about are things we can do straight away. And when you do that, it connects you. It's like it connects you with the energy of money, and then money flows better through your life. So it's all connected together. The thoughts in your head and what you feel inside yourself and then what actually happens is really connected.
I really appreciate that, and I connect with that because one of my big learnings and personal, I guess, growth moments of shifting from a scarcity kind of mindset to an abundance mindset was around giving and realizing that there was always a, oh, I'll give when, or I'll donate when, and shifting that to being like, well, if I'm moving that and saying I can't give until later, that implies that I don't have enough for myself. Which is not true. That's absolutely not true. You know, both Nath and myself, you know, born in Australia, wealthier than, you know, a very large portion of the world just from that alone, and appreciating that level of abundance that we already have. Like, of course we can afford to give. Like, it's crazy to think that we would choose to deprioritize that because we don't feel wealthy enough. So that was a huge lesson for me. And as you might know, as part of Fuel Collective, we're buy one, give one members, and we contribute to a whole range of causes and projects continuously. We back a lot of education projects, and that sense of giving and generosity and flowing, it does breed, I guess, an attitude of abundance.
Yes, and it's actually the same with paying. Giving and paying are really almost the same thing. Only one, you're giving money to somebody who's giving you some service, and then another one, you're giving money to somebody and the service kind of goes in a slightly different way. But it's almost the same thing. And so many people are so afraid of paying for things because they feel that they're going to lose. And we have very distorted ideas about money. And what I've found is that when we respect what we want to pay for, it actually makes it easier to bring money in. That's especially noticeable for people who have their own business, for example, because they have a little bit more control. But it's actually true. It's actually the same for everybody. So being able to take part in that flow of money, the movement of money, is very important in terms of having a good relationship with money.
So Sarah, you've joined us on a podcast called The Date Forever Podcast, and you mentioned you're moving to Australia with your husband. Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship status?
Well, obviously I'm married. I think I've been married, I don't know how long for, I can't remember. It was like around 2002, 2003, we got married. You can see, I don't know when my wedding anniversary is. I have no clue. I've never celebrated a wedding anniversary. Sorry, guys. I know that you're good on that kind of thing. I'm not. To me, that doesn't make any difference. That's not what makes a relationship. I don't know, for me, it's about spending time, it's being committed to it, it's about recognizing that when things feel really bad, it's not time to run away, it's time to figure things out a bit, to work together. I think it's much easier if you're both stickers than if you're a, you know, I think some people stick in there when it's really uncomfortable. I don't think that's better than being somebody who walks out of it. I just think that it's easier to have a marriage if you're a sticker in. Because if you tend to walk away, because, you know, when you stick in, it's not necessarily a better way of being. It's just like, I'm stubborn. But it makes it easier because you're there when things ease up a little bit.
So I'd love to know how our relationships with money can come up and influence our relationships if we have differing relationships. You know, if Nate's got his own unique relationship with money and I've got my own unique relationship with money, how can we navigate that in our relationship?
I think that's what makes relationship interesting, actually. The idea that relationship is about two people who have common beliefs and common, like, have hobbies and interests in common, that's what relationship is really strange and ridiculous to me. I think that's a very poor base for a relationship. All the good relationships that I know of, almost without exception, the people are really different, and it's the creativity that emerges out of that is what makes it alive. It's also what makes it difficult, because sometimes, you know, your energies just go completely in different directions. But it's what enables something to emerge from the relationship. It's what makes it rich. And I think it's the same with money. So it is about being able to share your views clearly and to be able to work together from your different beliefs and different positions, just like any other aspect of your relationship. Money is a part of it. There is a book that I read, and the guy teaches people to talk to their partners about money. And he says that it is the biggest, what's the expression used? I can't remember the expression, but the biggest boost to people's intimacy on the planet is talking about money.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There you go. So how does that play in? So obviously I've got my relationship with money, Nate's got his relationship with money. How does our shared relationship with money impact? Or do we not share one? Because obviously there's things that we spend outgoing money on together. Is that a contributing factor, or do we each come to the party with our own relationships?
Yeah, look, you both have different habits. You have different ways of thinking, and that definitely is part of it. So there's a joint relationship with money, and then you have your individual relationship with money. And it's rather like you can have a joint bank account, you can have individual bank accounts. In some relationships, they only have one type of account. We used to only have a joint account. And when we both got an individual account and started putting some money into that, actually, it surprised me how much difference it made. I didn't expect that. I think it's really important that we have something that's our own, also in this relationship with money. And naturally, there's a joint one where two people are living together, because you are paying for some things together. There are things that you're sharing. So it's just, that's just the way it is.
I think that was a big changer for us as well, making sure that we did have our own little bit of spending money and keep some of that fire alive between us, because we can buy things for each other and it doesn't feel like you're just spending each other's money. You are actually spending your own money to buy a gift or to spend on your special someone.
Yeah, absolutely. And also to spend on yourself, because we need to take care of ourselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, how can we really be good for another person? To me, it's one of the most fundamental things, that, you know, the idea that we should sacrifice ourselves for other people has been a very damaging myth, I think. And it's not about being selfish, clearly, but to recognize that you and the other person, you're both people, and therefore you're both equally important, as is everybody else. Not they're more important than me, and of course not I'm more important than them either. And having that bit of personal money helps with that.
So Sarah, is there a daily or weekly practice that you would recommend to help people, I guess, improve their relationship with money?
The first thing that I teach everybody is actually just to relax. I teach people daily relaxation, because that makes such a big difference in our relationship with money. To be relaxed about money and to let go of all the stress and worry about it has a huge impact. So I think that I would start with that before even talking about money itself at all.
So how can we deepen our relationship with money and learn to love it and learn to embrace it?
Over time, just like you do with a human being, you know, you have good times and you have more difficult times. And in the good times, that's great, but it's the difficult times where a lot of the growth tends to happen, because you have to figure things out and figure out what would be a better way of doing it. So instead of freaking out when money feels a bit tight, or where you've got a lot of bills or unexpected bills, first of all, relax at that time. Look at your thoughts and your beliefs, because you'll often find a whole lot of thoughts and beliefs about money that are not true, but they're really conditioning how you respond to situations. And then just get to know yourself, get to know more about what money really is and how it works, and how it works with you, how it works in relationship with you. Are you the kind of person who always overspends or always goes into debt? And what happens when you go into debt? Are you somebody who's very precise and very organized around money? What would happen if you were a little bit more flexible and open? If you're very spontaneous, what would happen if you actually got organized around money, took it seriously? And we're very responsible around it. So play with it and just assume that whatever your relationship with money is, it could be better. Start to connect with how you'd like it to be, and then see how you can get it to be like that.
I love that. One of the things that I learned was that if you started to ask yourself, well, what if I had more than enough? And if it was like, what if I had more than enough time? What if I had more than enough energy? What if I had more than enough money? What if I had, you know, more than enough passion? And that started to reframe for me, like, the way that I was seeing the world and the way that I was spending, yeah, all of those resources. And it definitely helped me, I guess, accelerate my my lens that I see the world through, that state of abundance. And yeah, the flow and effect for me has been, I feel huge.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. I think people often, many people who I meet, they're really struggling even to meet their expenses. And at that point, it's pretty much, how do I get the money to pay for my bills? But the minute you're able to do that, it's natural to go to the next stage. And like you said, what if I had more than enough? And then you start to think about investing. What would I invest in? What is it that I really want to grow in my life? Or what would I really like to create through my life? And that asks for often way more money than what we would otherwise have even thought about. If you don't ask those questions, you just assume, oh, I'm making my salary, I'm doing really fine, I've got a good salary or not so good. But if you ask bigger questions, you start wanting more, and it's really good stuff to want. You know, it's doing good. And it's creating more beauty in the world, for example. So then we start to want much more money flowing through our lives. And these are the stages we tend to go through.
Sarah, I've heard this quote: if you believe money doesn't buy happiness, you clearly haven't given enough away. I'd love to know what your thoughts are about that.
Yes. I mean, I'm actually a bit wary. I think that I know quite a few people who believed that if they gave a lot, A, it would make them happy, and B, it would make them rich, and it did neither. So giving in itself doesn't either make you happy or unhappy. And it also doesn't necessarily attract money or not. It depends how you do it. So if you love to give, like, I personally don't see giving as being superior to paying for things or doing anything else. I just see it as one of the activities that goes with money. It's a valuable one, but it's just one of the things. It's just as valuable to pay for something so that somebody can pay for their kids' meals or whatever, as it is to give money to somebody so they can pay for their kids' meals, honestly. So I think that it's really important that we understand that money is about movement and flow. It's not that giving is somehow makes us superior, because we get into all kinds of complicated things around that. And giving doesn't necessarily create happiness, but if you love to give, it might. And it also doesn't necessarily attract money. There are people who teach that if you give, then money comes in. There is truth in that. but not if, for example, you think, oh, well, if I'm a good person, I give a lot, and then I give and I give and I give, but I don't receive. And there are many givers who don't receive. And actually, your giving becomes very limited if you're not capable of receiving. So to me, generosity is not how much do I give to other people. It's how much do I receive and how much do I give. And that's what creates generosity. It's a very different mindset.
I like that. So speaking of giving, as a thank you for joining us today, we have given a year's worth of seeds to a family in Malawi so that they can help grow some crops so that they can continue to self-sustain. So thank you so much for making that possible.
Thank you. I actually also, there are projects in Malawi that I also support.
So we picked the right one for you.
You picked the right one for me also through B1G1. So yes, funnily enough, I love to give seeds because it's the same kind of philosophy as about money. It's about something that can grow and produce more. So it's really about abundance.
Yeah,
that's great. So Sarah, if our listeners want to connect with you or want to learn a little bit more about you or your book, how should they do that?
The simplest way is to go to my website, which is sarahmccrum.com. McCrum is M-C-C-R-U-M.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks heaps for joining us. If you love what we're doing here and want more, subscribe to the Date Forever podcast to make sure you never miss an ep. Come and hang out with us and other awesome couples who are fueling up their relationships in the Thriving Couples Collective Facebook group, or check us out at purecollective.com.au. Until next time, keep on dating, because better relationships equal a better world.